Verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, I'm going to begin my message with these, by prefacing with these remarks. And I want to just say this. You may be seated. I'm not going to read it just exactly yet. And I want to say this. Love is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And in this new series we're going to be starting today, it's called Love Does. I actually found the book by the same title. And I'm so frustrated because I want to buy it and read it. But I already have a stack of books that have been bought to read. And I'm reading my Bible and I'm trying to read through it quickly and just ingest a large portion of the Word until I'm sitting in the prayer closet, fat and fluffy, full of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I've already made it up to the book of Joshua. And started it didn't actually even start January 1st, started towards the end of January, and I'm trying to be, there's still a whole bunch left to read. But it's just, I want to buy that book and read it, and just, there's so many books I'm finding in my research this year that I want to read. I'm going to read a lot of books this year. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that reading is important for our spiritual development and our spiritual maturity?
Amen.
Amen. I would even posit to you, as I get ready to begin this message today, that reading is essential to revival and church growth. That if you will read voraciously and judiciously, choose what you read, that you will grow as an individual and as a Christian believer and as a leader in the church. And if you will grow as a leader in the church and as a Christian, the church, as a result, will grow as well. I know I preached earlier this year, I Am Revival, and it wasn't a very good message the way it was put together and presented, but the truth remains. If we will put out the effort to develop ourselves in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it will have a net positive impact on the growth of the church and the continuation of the momentum of revival. So we're starting a new series today. Love is a beautiful thing when it is fully developed and coupled to the right actions. And there's no better example than the one found in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. And what does it say in Romans 5, verse 8? It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is no greater love, it says also, I believe, in the previous verse. There is no greater love than this. This love is a selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the love of God today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Love does. Amen. Love has actions that it takes. And the action that God's love took place on the tree where Jesus was nailed and shed his blood and died. Love in its highest form. Amen. Giving up all that it has, including its own life. This is the love God has for humanity. This is the love that God has for you and me. Don't ever let the devil tell you any different. If God didn't love you, he would not have sent his son Jesus to die on Calvary for you. He shows his love for us. And the object of God's love was the fallen, broken human race. And the action of God's love was the sacrifice of his one and only son, Jesus. And the result of God's love and the death of Jesus was deliverance from cruel slavery and the darkness of sin to all who believe. Aren't you thankful today for the power of love working in Jesus Christ in your life? Were it not for that, we would still be lost and in darkness today. And let me say before I get into this message too far, if God's unconditional love is working in you and I, then we are also going to do as he did and take action. And we are going to do things as a worship to God and as a help to our fellow man that will turn the world that we live in upside down. When Jesus died, it turned the world upside down. When you accepted his love, it turned your world upside down. And when that love is working in you, you will do things that will turn other people's worlds upside down as well. Jesus died because his love, his pure love, was willing to do whatever it took, whatever was necessary to help those who are helpless and hurting. And I want to ask you before as I begin this message today, what kind of love is working in your heart? God loved you with a selfless love, and it changed you and changed your life. And now God is calling his people, his church, to love the lost and dying, to love one another, and to love him with a love that is totally selfless and life-changing. What kind of love is working in us today? It's going to take me several weeks to really explain the message in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'm just going to take it one step at a time today. And I'm going to start with a message in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1, 2, and 3. And today we're going to be drilling down on the actions of love. The first thing that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Notice how he goes from being irritating and annoying to being a nobody. And verse 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And the text today reveals to us a great danger. Now, if you were in our Bible class today, and you got to watch the video with Dr. Ed, and seeing how that faith can be imperfect and impure and improperly. There's an old saying that we learned at Bible college that the definition of faith is believing that the things that you cannot see will come to pass. And then they said the definition of fear is believing that the things that you cannot see will come to pass. So what he was teaching was that faith and belief can be messed up. And so what Paul is teaching us at the beginning of this discussion about love is that love can also be messed up. When actions are not properly connected together with the selfless, unconditional love of God, that we can actually do more harm than good while we're out ministering to people in the world. But with the right love and the right actions, amen, if we don't have those things, not only can we hurt other people, but we can even hurt ourselves. Paul is saying here that if we love speaking in tongues, but we don't love the people we're speaking to, whether it's to men or to God, then we are just an irritating noise. How many of you can say amen? You've been around people that were just irritating noises. If we love prophetic powers, and if we love understanding mysteries and possessing knowledge, and if we love cultivating faith that will move mountains, but we do not love the God who gives us these abilities, and if we don't love the people we are supposed to be helping with these abilities, then we are basically no one. If we give away all we have, and we even give our body up to death, but we don't do it with a sense of love and goodwill toward God and toward men, then we will have absolutely no profit, and God will not reward anything that we do in his name. I don't know about you, but
but that is a frightening thought. That I could spend a lot of energy and effort doing things and never receive a reward in heaven because I had misappropriated love and its connection to the power of God. The prophet Jonah preached in the Old Testament without love. He actually hated the people he was preaching to you. How many of you have ever heard preaching like that? Where you thought to yourself, this preacher doesn't really like us at all. And the preacher might have even said, I don't even care about you. Hallelujah. Jonah did not care about the people he was preaching to. He did not care if they were going to be saved or not. He was only preaching because God didn't give him a choice. And his ministry ended up being a big, fat zero. Think about this. Even though an entire city and a whole generation of pagans were saved by his heroic preaching, he didn't receive one accolade or reward from God. God was not moved. God was not impressed because he preached without love. It is a great danger that Paul reveals to us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, that we can be all ate up with spirituality and righteousness and performing spiritual functions, but be completely without love, and so that all of our energy and time is totally wasted, and no reward for us in heaven whatsoever. C.S. Lewis said, a selfless love that is passionately committed to the well-being of others. Jonah didn't care. He did care. The only thing he cared about was that they refused to repent, and he was hoping that God would burn them up. The disciples said to Jesus when they were rejected by a particular city that they were traveling by, let's call down fire from heaven and destroy these people. The Apostle Paul said there's something wrong with that ministry. It is lacking love. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, you hear us quoted often. Now everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Let me tell you something, church, it's a frightening thought today. I've seen many people in my years in Pentecost that are in love with the power, but they are not in love with God. They're in love with the performance and the demonstration, but they couldn't care less about people. And you can tell by their actions something is wrong. And you may be saying to yourself, well, that's not me. And I know who he's talking about. But you hang on today, church, because we all need a refresher course in how love works. And if you're on the other end of the spectrum, I'll get to you before the message is done. Luke chapter 11, verse 43. Jesus said, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Did you know it is possible to accompany other things besides God? Right. It was kind of shocking to me in my Bible study to realize that the phrase and the Greek term agape, which is a selfless, unconditional, sacrificial love that only does what's in one's best interest that one is ministering to, can actually be misapplied to other things. You love the best seat in the synagogues and you love greetings in the marketplace. Think about the implications of that. John chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus said, and this is the judgment, the light has come into the world and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil, that it is actually possible to agapeo darkness, to agapeo with a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional, willing to lay down your life to achieve some sort of euphoric joy in darkness. In John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, nevertheless many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. There is a certain creeping perversion that infects our love and causes us to act in destructive, sinful ways. And it is terrifying to me today to imagine an unconditional, selfless, sacrificial love that is fully devoted with a death grip on some worthless, pointless, empty pursuit. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me just tell you something today. God's love is different. It is supernaturally imparted by the Holy Spirit into our lives. It is different. It is something completely different. And anything that the world can fabricate, no matter how committed, no matter how committed you may be to your social cause, no matter how dedicated and how tireless you may toil at some career or some betterment of mankind, that is not the love that comes from God. There is a different kind of love that comes from God. And it is a love that is not in love with the things of this world, but it is in love with God and with people and the things of God. And if all of this wasn't bad enough, that love could go so terribly wrong, that there is even another additional scenario where we actually come to hate God and hate His people. Because if my love for God has grown cold and my neighborly compassion is diminished, then I will be easily irritated by those who are trying to love me and help me. Instead of being encouraged, if my love is infected with selfishness and hurt, then I won't even get any benefit from the unconditional love that comes to me. And I may even become hateful and violent towards those who are ministering to me. I may even become hateful and angry toward God. We need to be careful. Sometimes we may misunderstand that somebody is ministering to us, speaking in tongues to us, powerfully prophesying to us, doing all sorts of things to benefit us. But because we ourselves have lost our grip on love, that we don't take it the way it is brought to us by God, and we reject the ministry of God's love towards us, and we begin to look on those who are loving us as though they are our enemies. We become a part of those who call evil good and good evil. And it bears itself out in the scripture. Jesus preached the truth out of love. But the Bible says his own people rejected him, and they gave him over to the Roman occupiers to be killed. Stephen was preaching the truth out of love, but his fellow Jews took him outside the city and stoned him to death. And look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He said, if I could, I would give my own body and sacrifice myself so that my brethren, the Jews, would be saved. That's how much he loved his fellow brethren and his fellow citizens of Israel. But everywhere he went, every city that he went to, his fellow brethren that he loved attacked him, stoned him, beat him, threw him in jail time and time and time again, and sometimes even got a hold of him to where they would literally rip his arms out of his sockets, and he had to be physically carried up over people's head and out of the mob scene that had gathered. This was people reacting to the love of God. So we need to be careful before we pass judgment on those who we feel like don't have love when they're ministering, and make sure that we have love ourselves. I've seen some of that around here in the church lately, little inflections and little reflections and little irritations of it. You better be careful where your love is at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Ghost is moving on people, and His love and His power is working through people. And you don't want to find yourself like Gamaliel said to the Sanhedrin, lest we find ourselves to be in opposition to God. Love does. And so what I'm preaching to you in this first message today is that our love needs to be renewed. Everybody say renewed.
Renewed.
What is wrong with people? Where did we lose our grip on the sanctity of love? Church, we need a renewal of the love of God inside of us. We need a renewal of, our world needs a renewal of love in it, in our culture, in our society. And we are living in a world that perverts love. We are living in a world where the church has got a cold-hearted love. And so what we are calling on the church, and God is calling on us to do today, is double down on our commitment to true divine agape love, and ensuring that our actions are love-based and that our love is Christ-centered.
Amen. Amen.
It's time to start speaking and acting in ways that are consistent with a selfless commitment to improve the lives of the people we live with. I come in contact with people all the time, and you hear people say, well, I the Bible says I have to love them, but I don't have to like it. You got a problem. It's a love problem. If you can say, well, I don't have to like them, I just have to love a friend. If you love somebody, then liking becomes irrelevant.
That's right.
If you love somebody and God is moving through you with His love, who you like and what you like becomes irrelevant.
That's right.
Because there is no higher expression than the love of God. There is no higher law than the love of God. There is no higher commandment than the love of God. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
It's time for the church to start speaking and acting in ways that are consistent with a selfless commitment to improve the lives of the people that we are living with. It's time for you and for me to start serving and worshiping God with a fervent, fiery love. If you don't have a fervent, fiery love in your worship time to God, there's something wrong with your love. It's got cold and needs to be heated back up again. And I'm preaching to myself today. Amen. Revival has done one thing for me. It has begun to restore a fervency of worship and a fervency of praise to God. It feels good to worship Jesus. It feels good to give Him praise. It feels good to express my love to Him. And I don't care if anybody likes it or doesn't like it, because it is right. And when it's right, it doesn't matter whether anybody likes it or doesn't like it. You don't have to worry about those things, because love is a higher expression. It rules over all other emotions and feelings and expressions. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40, they asked Him the question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." That's agape.
Amen.
"With all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. If you are here in our Bible class today at the beginning of our video, remember the first thing that popped up? You remember what there was a little blurb, a little textual blurb that popped up at the beginning of the video. How many of you got it written down?
Come on.
Anybody write it down besides me?
Love
God, love people. Everybody, love God, love people.
Amen.
That is the greatest commandments in the kingdom of God. How do we do that? I'll tell you how you do it. You allow God to do it through you. Amen. You open up the avenue. You allow it to happen. It is an amazing thing. It is fulfilling. There is something fulfilling and satisfying. I've been in contact with different people, and they're all kind of messed up. All kind of situations. I'm dealing with people as a pastor. I know people. I know who they are. I know how they live. I know how they were raised. I know how they raised their kids. I know where they've been. I know what kind of trouble that they have caused. And God has brought them into my life. And I'm like, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, of all things, of all people for you to bring into my life. Couldn't you have been a little bit more discretionary? And you know what God did? He put love inside of me. And he said, love that person. And it is so satisfying. It doesn't matter to me what they used to be. It doesn't matter to me how they are. It doesn't matter to me what they're doing wrong or what they're doing right. The only thing that matters is that I feel love from God towards those individuals, and it supersedes everything else that may boggle my mind or try to trip me up from time to time. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters to me, and it's an amazing thing, and maybe it's just because I'm a pastor, but I think, church, you can feel it too, that sometimes God just opens up your heart and you love somebody. I don't want to go on a date with them. I don't want to marry them. I don't want to, to have them scratch my back and me scratch theirs. I don't want to send them little, romantic love notes. But I do that sometimes, don't I, leadership team?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't the pastor send out love notes sometimes? Not very often. But sit down, in the past couple of years, it takes me hours and hours. And I sit at the desk, and sometimes I put scriptures with it. And always rush for time around the holidays. Always a pressure. But when I sit down and write those, it's always the same thing. When I begin to write down what this person on the leadership team and member of our church means to me, that the tears well up in my eyes and the emotion stirs up in my heart. There is a love of God inside of me for these people that God has given me to lead and to pastor. And it makes me so happy. It makes me feel so strong. It makes me feel so powerful. But it doesn't come with all of the junk that the love of the world comes with. It's a clean, pure, vibrant life force that flows inside of us. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Let love be genuine. Abhor that which is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. 1 Peter 1, 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. You know why God loved us? Because he loves us. You know why God loves us? Because he loves us. You know why God gives us love? So we can be loved. You know why God pours and sheds his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? So we can love people. God gives us love so we can love.
Amen.
I don't even know, that's profound, isn't it? 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Listen to this, folks. You cannot function as a believer without the love of God centering inside of you. You cannot function in your ministry without the love of God centering inside of you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 78. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God,
because God is love. No wonder that there are going to be people that have cast out demons, and God is going to say, I never knew you. Why? Because they didn't have love, and if you don't have God's love, God doesn't know who you are.
Come on.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And let me bring this all down to you today. I know when I put this message together, I don't like to spend a lot of time on the negativity, but I didn't see any way around it, because Paul gives us the negative. We got to give you the negative too. But I want you to understand something here. And I know I'm in danger of preaching to the choir in this message. And you may feel like, well, I know all of this already. But I feel the need to reinforce the foundation of love in this church. And as I come into the closing part of my sermon, I'm going to tie up some loose ends from you. And I want to tell you what the Apostle Paul was not saying. Amen. He was not saying that you shouldn't pursue tongues or prophecy or knowledge or wisdom. Paul was not saying that we shouldn't be generous to the poor or willing to lay down our lives. But Paul was simply saying, there are no actions in the church where love is not involved.
That's right.
He was saying that there are no spirit-led gifts and functions where love is not involved. What was Paul saying here? He was saying that when it comes to speaking in tongues of men and angels, love does that. I feel love. I feel the love of God. Therefore, I bring a message in tongues and I bring an interpretation of tongues. There's too many people in the church. Amen. They've been turned off by ministries that are loveless. And so they themselves have become loveless. And they no longer do what love does, because they were turned off by people doing things without love. But just because somebody does things without love doesn't mean that you shut love off, that you shut the faucet off, and that you stop the flow of it. You keep on doing what love does. Love speaks in tongues of men and angels. Love brings messages of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy.
That's right.
Amen.
It just does it different than everybody else does. Hallelujah. Come on now. We're dealing with faith that can move mountains. If we're dealing with extreme generosity and martyrdom, that even then those things are not outside of the power and influence of love, but they remain centered and seated in the love of God. Amen. So love doesn't take a break when tongue talkers step in. Amen. Love doesn't jump in the back seat and take a nap when the quote-unquote real ministers of God's prophetic power take the wheel. But love is always behind the wheel.
That's right.
And it's always involved in anything and everything that God does in the church through His powerful Spirit. I want us to stand together today and preaching a short message to you. But I want us to start worrying less about giving the right message and saying the right words, and start worrying and double check our motives to ensure that love is driving anything that we're about to say. That the power of God's love that is flowing through us before we heal somebody, before we proclaim a prophetic word, before we bring understanding of mysteries and knowledge and wisdom, that we can check and double down and dive down and drill down and make sure that it's love that's driving me to do what I'm about to do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Whether I'm singing in the worship team, I need to make sure that when I'm walking up that platform and I get behind that microphone, that my love for God is driving my worship.
Yeah.
that my love for God's people is driving me to minister to them, to create the atmosphere that they can worship God more conveniently and more peacefully. If I'm on my musical instrument, I need to make sure that when I put my hands and my feet on my instrument, that my mind is thinking, God, I'm about to show you something. I'm about to show you love, God. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to create an atmosphere of worship that the love of God can go out in this place.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you're doing, if you're cleaning the pews or the toilet bowls, or if you're teaching a Sunday school class or writing the bills. Love does those things too.
That's right.
Love does tongues and interpretation of tongues. Everybody say, love does.
Love does.
Love does prophetic powers. Love does deep mysteries and knowledge. Love does faith that can move mountains. There is you look at the ministry of Jesus, and I baffle over this all the time in prayer as I wrestle with things for years sometimes before I fully understand and experience them in my heart. And I think to myself, look what Jesus did. The Bible says he was moved with compassion upon the multitudes and he healed them all. His healing power was moved and motivated and channeled through his loving compassion for the hurting people. When I'm teaching, helping out on Wednesday nights with the kids, and they come in the door and I know that they're struggling, and I can just be irritated that they're not listening to me. I can just be irritated that they won't do what I told them to do, and they better mind and they better behave, and I can do all what I'm doing and completely devoid and absent of God's love. Or I can walk in there and I can see those little hurting children and the pain that they carry around with them, and the difficult environment that they're asked to live in this hour of the human race in the church, with deception going out into our communities and so many people being caught up in it. And I can look down at them with the spirit of love and not look down on them for where they don't measure up to my expectations. How can you put up with those kids? It's easy. Through love. How can you put up with those complainers and troublemakers? It's easy. Through love. How do you sit there and study and preach and get that message? It's easy. Through love. And I'm sitting there at the desk, and I don't want to be at the desk. What keeps me at the desk? It's love that keeps me at the desk. And then I get to going in the message, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Oh, they're going to like this. Oh, people are going to be encouraged and helped by this. And love stirs me up. And I adjust what I'm going to say and what I might have said and make it better so that love can take the preeminence when I preach. Church, there is nothing that love does not or cannot do when it comes to showing God. When I'm showing God agape, there's nothing that love won't do. Oh, I'll never do that. It's because you don't love God. Because if you loved him, there wouldn't be anything you wouldn't do for him. There's nothing that love does not or cannot do when it comes to doing things in the best interest of people, helping them grow in God and live a godly life. Well, I'll never do that. It's because you don't love people. And then we go, oh, that's not my ministry. It's not my calling. Sound to me like you don't have a ministry or a calling. Because if you had a ministry or a calling, you wouldn't be standing around going, that ain't my ministry and calling. You'd be saying, what are you doing? I'm over here. I'm doing this. Why are you doing that? It's my calling. We need to spend less time talking about what's not our calling and spend more time doing what is our calling. We need to spend less time complaining about our calling and let the love of God energize our calling so that when we do what God has called us to do, it's time to stop pandering to our excuses for having cold, loveless hearts. I'm going out here and I'm going to tell them like it is. I'm going to do my ministry, whether they like it or not. I'm done. You need more love in your hearts. Oh, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so I'm just going to sit over here in the corner and I'm just going to be a little quiet little church. You need more love in your heart.
Come on.
Because love changes how we act. When I love, I will speak with boldness. I will speak in a way that will be helpful. And if I can't figure that out, I'll go back and get more love until I get it figured out. And the Bible says that the kisses of an enemy are multiplied, but the wounds of a friend are faithful. Why? Because they love that person. And even though what they're saying is hard, you can feel the love coming out of them. And you can receive what they're saying because there is love. Love does ministry. Love does the power of God. Love does everything. It's time to get to loving God and loving our neighbors the way God intended for it to be. How many of you hear what the preacher's preaching today?
Amen.
Time to stop blaming our lack of ministry activity and our lack of expressions of love on people that don't do it right. Well, you show them how to do it. That's what I do. I'm around people all the time. You know, sometimes you're working with people and you think, you ain't got to have a ring in your head. You know, why would you say that? Why would you do that? But what do I do? Oh, well, I'm not going over it. No. I get in there and I show them how it's done. That's what love does. It gets in there anyway and does what needs to be done. It gets in there anyway and does what should be done. Can you imagine if Jesus was like us? Wow. Those Pharisees, they always argue with me. They won't never let me get a word in edgewise. That's it. I'm not giving a sacrifice. I'm not going to lay my life down. They don't deserve it. They're just too rude. Can you imagine? People coming up to Jesus, calling him a devil, calling him a demon, calling him a party animal, calling him a drunkard. Can you imagine calling the Son of God names like that? Can you imagine if Jesus was like us? Well, they hurt my feelings. I'm not going back to that synagogue anymore. And I hope they rot in hell. I hope they get what's coming to them. Can you imagine Jesus being like that? Can you imagine Jesus, can you imagine Jesus just coming out to say, all right, you idiots, I'm sick and tired of your nonsense. I'm ready to hammer down now. Can you imagine him walking up to a Pharisee and just swatting them on the head and their body splits in half? Now, you ain't moved nobody mess with me now. He never did any of those things. He always operated out of everybody.
Love.
He put up with things that he wouldn't have otherwise put up with. Why? Because he loved those people, even though they were a mess. He did things that he refrained from doing things, and then he did things that nobody else would have done because those people that he was doing them to did not deserve it. But he did that anyway because his motivation was not their worthiness. His motivation was not their reactions. His motivation was not their praise. His motivation was love. I'm going to help this person. This person is going to be better when I get done with them than they were when I left them. Sometimes it's rough in ministry. You look at people who have come and gone, and you look at all the hard work that you put into those people. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care how hard people are to deal with and how difficult they make our lives in ministry. I guarantee you one thing, that when they leave out from underneath my pastoral authority, they will be better than they were when they got here. Why? Because I am going to do things in their life under the power of love that is going to have an impact and change them. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and we're going to dismiss the people in just a few moments. And we just ask you to help us, oh God.